It's showtime!
Get up! I want everybody up! Get out of your seats and get on your feet! Welcome to Where Rock Meets Roll, Heavy Beats Metal, and Out Meet Law. Ladies and gentlemen, let them hear you!
Welcome everyone to our Gasroots Project Hot Seat segment. We're gonna see how this goes because I have everybody in a Discord chat right now. But our Gasroots Project Hot Seat segment is of course presented by Gasroots Project. Wisconsin-based Gasroots Project is a nonprofit organization working to strengthen and grow grassroots racing. Since 2017, the project has produced several short films and articles in addition to financially assisting racers and tracks through awards and sponsorships. To donate or learn more, visit GasrootsProject.com. And we're very pleased to welcome into the Gasroots Project Hot Seat segment Outlaw Kart driver and now Micro Sprint driver Ashley Williams. How are we doing, Ashley?
I'm good. How are you today?
Fantastic. And who else is in this Discord server with me? Because there was at one point like 8 people in here, but I think I muted the right people.
Everybody else but me and Will left, I think.
Yes. So we have Trevor Frank back.
Keep showing up.
Yeah. Quote unquote in studio. And then
Will. Your resident mid-pack 360 sprint car driver, Will Garrett.
Yes, Will is in the Discord as well. Will, are you still in Iowa?
He's out there simping in Iowa.
Oh, my God.
I'm just around a fire by myself with me and my dog here. I can throw a rock and it land in Missouri, so
oh, cool.
That's how far away I am.
Oh, awesome. So, all right. So, Ashley, we're going to get this interview going here. I apologize for all of the incoming shenanigans by my other two co-hosts. But I kind of know where you come from. I've talked to you a few times at good old Thunder Hill Speedway. But there's going to be some people listening who don't know your racing history and kind of where you came from and how you got into it. So if you could just kind of go over your racing history, that'd be great.
Yeah, so this season's my 9th year racing. I started at Thunder Hill Speedway when I was in second grade. I started out in the rookie cage, and then I moved to the junior wing, 125, and that's when they combined the classes, so 125, 250 class. And then last season, I moved up to the 500, so I was running 500, 250, and then I was sponsored a ride from a guy out of Canada in a micro sprint last year, so we started doing that, and this year I have my own micro, so now we start traveling around in that, and now I'm in 500 and micro.
That's awesome. And you were rookie of the year for a couple of years, I believe, at Thunder Hill in the Outlaw Kart, correct?
Yeah, so in the Outlaw Kart, I won back-to-back 250 points championships last year, and then the year before I won that. And I was rookie of the year last season for my micro sprint.
That's awesome. We kind of ask this to everybody who comes on the show because we get different answers every time. If you could relive any moment in your racing history, I know you've won a lot of races and obviously you've had a couple championships. If you could relive any moment in your racing history, what would it be?
I probably have 2. One of them would be getting the phone call saying that this guy is giving me an opportunity to drive a micro sprint. They came to Thunder Hill. And I was just kind of joking around with my parents, like, oh, if someone would let me drive it, would you let me? And they're like, oh, yeah, for sure, like, anything. And then one day we got a text from someone asking what I was doing on Labor Day, and I was actually like, oh, I'm supposed to get my wisdom teeth out. Nope, I'm not doing anything. And later that night, we called up the guy, and he was like, yeah, I want to let your driver race my micro. And then that turned into a season event, so that was really cool. And then the second one I'd probably relive is going to Red Bluff in California. We've met some awesome friends out there, and they let me come out and drive their cart whenever I want. And that's awesome. That was an eye-opening experience.
That's great. And Will, I think you have the next question here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like I don't really know much about you, Ashley, but just from the short time that I've gotten to talk to you here, you've kind of grown up in the carts and now we're racing micros. Do you have any aspirations outside of the small cars, or where do you want to go with your racing career?
Yeah, so I've been in carts for quite a while, and now moving up to micros, obviously a bigger car, bigger tracks. It's been pretty cool because I always wanted to run a sprint car, but it kind of seemed out of reach for a while. As I was younger, I thought it was farther away than it really is, and now it feels like it could be a lot closer. So I'd really like to get a chance to run a sprint car because, that's kind of what I've been doing, the whole type of car. But I also have had interest in, a limited late model or something like that. But I would like to drive that to see if that's what I like. And I actually have an arrive and drive kind of set up to drive a B mod to see what I like. So.
Oh, boy.
Trevor, that's
oh, boy. Yeah. My question was going to be if you could drive a different Fender car, or if you could drive your dream Fender car, what would it be? Because I always get made fun of on this podcast. I'm the only one who drives a Fender car.
I would like to drive a limited late model, honestly. That would be pretty cool.
I've been wanting a late model since the day I strapped into a sport mod.
Yeah, late models are my second favorite type of dirt car, so that's kind of cool. I think, Will, you've got the next question as well.
Yeah, so what do you do to prepare for a night of racing? Can you just kind of walk us through the day of at the shop to the racetrack? How does the day go for you when you're racing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's pretty similar every single day. So, we always pack up the night before to make sure that there's no, last minute, crazy things that happen, the day of to add on to the daily nerves and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I get up and sometimes I'm just too nervous to eat breakfast and lunch goes the same way. But I've been getting a lot better at that. I don't know, it's kind of a regular day. We leave pretty early. Just everything kind of happens the day before. Just make sure that the cart, micro, whatever we're getting ready for is all good and nice and cleaned up. Because if it's not clean, my dad doesn't let me race.
Are you guys one of the first trailers there when you show up to the racetrack?
Are you that early? Well, we used to be that early. Every weekend it used to be that early, and now my mom pushes we know how it goes. We can get there quite a bit later, so we're probably one of the middle trailers, but definitely never the last trailer there.
Yeah.
There's a three-way battle between me, Will Garretts, and Kurt Davis every single weekend. Who can get there faster? And I usually beat Will, and then I make fun of him for an entire week straight.
Until he beats you the next week. we've seen a multitude of really, really good sprint car drivers, and now going into NASCAR as well, come up from outlaw carts and 500cc specifically. And then obviously micros are in there too. And I know the micros are super competitive right now. Will actually came up from a micro as well. But so my question is, when you go to Thunder Hill or wherever you race your micro sprint, who's the best driver in the pits? So let's say, because you raced against some pretty stout competition. I just know from being at Thunder Hill, there were some amazing drivers there and you did extremely well against those drivers. But I'm kind of unfamiliar with the micro scene right now. So who would be your best driver in an outlaw kart right now and then also in the micro sprints?
Overall everywhere?
Yeah.
Just at the track race? Oh, that's kind of a tough question. I would for sure say some of the best kart racers right now are at Red Bluff and Cycleland. That's for sure where I'd say one of my... there's so many good drivers. All those QRC drivers are some of the people that I love watching the most. But in the micro, I would say... that's another hard question. I know Frank Flood's super good. He's a very dominant driver, and Frank Galusha, and they're people that are just crazy fast, and it's really cool to watch them and the skills that they have. I'd probably say one of those two for the micro, and then for the kart, that's really hard to choose because there's a lot.
There are a lot. There are a lot of really good outlaw kart drivers right now.
Yeah. It's crazy some of the talent that's in the karts and that people don't even know about the karts. Is, you know, even if they're surrounded by racing, some people don't know about the karts, and it's crazy because there's so much just awesome talents in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think, Will, you've got the next one here.
Absolutely. Is there any, like, up-and-comers in the karts that you think is going to make it big time soon? I know there's a lot of outlaw karts drivers in California, like Logan Seavey, Holly Shelton, Kyle Larson, Rico Abreu, that have kind of made it big recently. Who do you think is going to be the next big thing in outlaw kart racing?
Oh, wow, that's a hard question. Especially Logan Seavey, like you said, he's been doing really good. And Kyle Larson, wow, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think they came from karts. I don't know, Tanner Holmes has been doing really good lately. I know that he's in his sprint car, mm-hmm. but he's been doing really good this season.
I was just about to mention Tanner as well, because he is obviously very successful YouTube channel, which has kind of, you know, made him a little bit more famous than maybe just another guy who came up from outlaw karts that doesn't have that kind of outlet. So I know you've raced at a lot of different tracks, obviously all over the country. Do you have a favorite track that you've raced at? And then what kind of tracks would you like to see added to your personal schedule?
So for sure, for the outlaw kart, Red Bluff is probably one of my favorites. I mean, it's the hardest track I've ever raced at because they do change the configuration of the track every single day because they never want it to be the same.
Wow.
They want you to have to relearn the track every single day. So, like, the high side might be 3 feet lower one day and then higher the next day. I mean, the whole track changes, so that's really awesome, but hard. So that's probably my favorite kart track. And then for the micro, hopefully we're going to be able to travel some more in that. We were just kind of getting, as it was our first season in our own car, we were trying to get some of the bugs worked out of it. But we ran at Sweet Springs in Missouri, so that would be my favorite track around.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And Thunder Hill was so fun in the micro, too.
Mm-hmm. Thunder Hill's nice. It's specifically for karts. I mean, there's a lot of tracks like that, obviously, but it was my first one that I'd been to like that.
Yeah, it's so nice. I mean, once you start traveling, you kind of take it for granted. When you don't travel, you don't really realize how, I mean, like, rough and just not taken care of some other tracks can be.
Hmm. All right, Will, I think you've got the next one here as well.
Yeah, so outlaw karts and micro sprints definitely produce a different, like, style of racing. And how do you think your driving style kind of fits in with those cars? And what is it about those type of cars that the big guys, the big stars that come from it drive? What do you think driving those cars teaches you to be a successful race driver?
Well, to start off with, the cars are completely different, so you learn such different things in both of them. But I would for sure say, I mean, I think I've learned the most in karts, and I'm not just saying that because I've raced them the longest, but I mean, the micro racing is a lot different up here than it is down, like, in just anywhere else, really, you know. So, in the karts, I mean, just, like, the techniques, such as the 125, you need to learn throttle control so much. So, I think going through karts, that really helped me. And, like, the slide jobs and just the moves, because the karts will go wherever you put them rather than the micros. Obviously, with the suspension, they're slower. But in the micro, I've learned some, like, clutch skills and stuff like that. Not something you'd really need for a sprint car or anything like that. But I think throttle control in the karts is a really big one.
Oh, for sure. I think Will, you get the next one, yeah.
What clutch skills are? I'm not really sure what that means in terms of racing. Can you just kind of run us through that?
You're such a nerd, Will.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Like, so we have a rule at our track. Like, if you stop on the track, you go to the back. And before, it's like, oh, you spun out and you just killed the cart. And then after I went to Red Bluff, I, like, there, you race back to the flag stand. So it's like, you never want to stop on the track, because if you spin out and then grab your clutch and then get it going again, you might gain more positions or something like that. So, I mean, that's kind of some of the clutch skills, like learning to grab it to make sure your car doesn't stop so that you don't get put to the back every time.
Mm-hmm.
And even like when you come in, like let's say your brakes go out or something, like learning how to use your clutch, learning how to use it on starts, from switching even between two strokes and four strokes, that's such a thing you need to know how to use.
That's interesting to me because...
I wish you would have known these such skills when you got to hot lap my Sport Mod and spun it out six times. You keep killing my car.
That's interesting to me because you know, with those clutch skills and everything like you're talking about, that translates almost more to fender car dirt racing than it does to an open wheel car because, I mean, 90% of open wheel dirt cars don't have starters and it's just, you know, direct drive. So you don't have a clutch. So is that kind of why you think that, you know, going to a fender car like a late model or a mod would almost suit you a little better?
Personally, why I think one of those cars would suit me better is because I feel like I could be totally wrong on this, but personally, I feel like it's a little bit more like throttle control in those cars, like coming into the corner and everything like that. And that's kind of what suits my driving is I'm a big throttle control person over like braking and stuff like that. And in the micro, like you don't use any throttle control. Like it's kind of like a no-no. You want to use your brakes the whole time. And it's to the point where we have to switch out or drain the brake fluid out of our cars every week because we'll burn it up.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was probably one of the biggest adjustments going from karts to micros, especially last year when I was running three different classes. It's like, I wanted to use throttle control so bad in the micro, but it's like, you can't because that's not what works for those type of cars.
Sure. Trevor can kind of attest on the fender stuff, but in the sprint car, in the 360 sprint car, for sure, a lot of it is throttle control coming out of the corner. Going into the corner is kind of full on, like you keep it, drive it as deep as you can into the corner, but coming out, a lot of times it's throttle control. Unless you're on the cushion, then you're just on it. Whereas, Trevor, you want to take the reins on the fender car?
Yeah, well, if you'd even look at like this past weekend at Gravity Park, the track was pretty, you know, slick. And you're not really, you are using a lot more throttle control in our cars because of the walking rear ends. It's a lot easier though, because you'll get into the corner and you'll kind of give it enough throttle till you feel it kind of pick up, you know, cause the left rear will plant on our cars and you know, you'll feel it plant cause you can feel the rear end moving when you're in the car and you have to kind of gauge how much throttle you give it. Because if you feel the car start to lay down, you're losing grip and it's not keeping it on the bars. But I do agree that fender cars, or at least sport mods, are a lot more throttle control than I ever thought they would be, and I sucked at it for a long time until I learned to just like calm myself down in the car and realize that sometimes slower is actually faster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big thing. Like my favorite types of tracks are dry slicks because that's when the throttle control comes in and you're not just holding it wide open. And I personally think that's when it gets fun, is because it's so much more of a driver's game rather than a motor game.
Yeah, especially in when you run IMCA, because obviously I do, and I have a crate motor, and when it comes to really wet racetracks, 115% of the time we're going to lose to good open motors because they make more horsepower than us. But when it comes to the dry slick tracks, where it's driver and it's throttle control, it's a lot more fun to me, at least, because of course my car will excel in that situation.
And yeah, that's a thing too. I guess this is a question for both you and Trevor here, Ashley, but is that why you think you do better on dry slick tracks? Because I know Trevor does really well at Plymouth, which is 99% of the time it's completely dry slick. And then Ashley, you said you like Thunder Hill when it gets dry slick because you do a lot better than because you think – is that just because you think the better drivers come out when it's dry slick and it's not so much just based on your car?
I think it – I think it's a lot more fun, and I guess – dry slicks are always where I've had my success, and at least in the past few years, when it really just takes, like I said before, it really takes away the motor game. So if you don't have the biggest motor, it kind of evens it out a little bit more, and then it's really where you need to use like skills and not just hope the car sticks, you know what I mean? I'm gonna hold it wide open around the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's where like It's especially on the bottom. That's where I feel like, because I love the bottom, and it's when I can really hit the bottom good, because it's not just, I mean, obviously the top takes technique, but the bottom is, it's really fun on a dry slick, because you just have to use that throttle control on it. Almost just has to be perfect, so it holds you and everything.
Mm-hmm. And Trevor, do you have anything on that?
See, I'm kind of opposite in that situation, because, I mean, with how gone even gravity was this weekend, and sometimes even Plymouth, I always find myself low to the top of the racetrack, mm-hmm. Especially this weekend where a good 15 of the 30 laps, I was pretty much in the concrete. and that's the nice thing about fender cars is you can go out there and all it is a spoiler and a T-bar. And if you do that in a sprint car, it really hurts. But I think that the dry slick racetracks, I think there's a lot of, I'll call them out boomers that complain about how racing used to be and tracks were just heavy and hammered down all night. But I feel like nowadays when you got people who are really, with how advanced shocks are and advanced like pull down rigs are for fender cars and like getting your car at how it goes on the racetrack and scaling it like that and how advanced we can get our cars, that the dry slick tracks make so much more sense for us. And that's why I think a lot of the premier racetracks get slick real quick, because it makes really good racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think we'll move on from that right now. Will, you've got the next question here.
Yeah, so I mean, our interview to this point has all been about racing. Can you tell us what you do in your free time that isn't racing related?
Yeah, so in my free time, right now I'm doing a lot of school. I'm actually taking college classes while in high school, so I'm kind of trying to figure out a career that I can manage with racing, because I don't see myself stopping racing when I get older. And then I ski in the winter. I played tennis for the last few years. I just didn't do it because of Corona this year. And I like working out, I like to work out to get stronger for my racing, because that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I feel like that's a really underlooked thing is how much, I mean, especially like, I can't even imagine outlaw carts and how much you actually feel in those cars when you go over bumps and on the racetrack and like, it takes quite a bit of strength to wheel one of those things, and any car, really. I feel like that's one thing people don't understand is, like, you definitely get your ass kicked if you're not in good shape or decent shape when you drive race cars.
Mm-hmm. For sure, and in my micro, I don't have power steering either, so...
I was just going to ask that, because I really don't know much about the whole micro scene or the kart scene. I didn't know if they had power steering or not.
So the karts don't have any power steering. It's not an option, but in the micros... I would say majority of the people do have power steering, but I don't. Me and my dad have talked about it a lot, and it's kind of one of those things, like, you gotta work towards it. You gotta work hard if you want it, and he doesn't necessarily want to give me power steering. We've heard good and bad things about it. A lot of people like it for the longer races, where it's nice because then you don't get as tired, but then again, you also lose feel in the car and stuff, so...
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. So as far as your 2021, you talked about you got to arrive and drive things set up with a sport mod, and you know, all that cool stuff. Do you have any specific plans? Are we going to see you full time in a micro? Are you going to do a few races in the 500cc kart again, or is you know, moving up in the future for you as well?
So I think this season I want to focus on my micro, just because the kart and the car are so different from each other. It's hard to go between two, and I mean, you only have so much time in the week, so distributing it between both of them to make them both good is somewhat challenging. But so I kind of want to focus on the micro. I love my kart a lot, and I don't want to get rid of it, but it's kind of time to focus on one so I can move towards the next step.
Just to clarify, is it a USRA B mod? Is that what it is?
I'm not for sure what it is. I just know it's a B mod. That I don't really know much about those type of cars, but okay. They just asked me if I wanted to drive it at an arrive and drive.
That's awesome. It's really cool that they're, you know, giving you some opportunities that way. Will, yeah. I think you got the next one here. It's questions for the next guest.
Yeah, so we kind of hinted on this earlier before we started recording here that who asked, Ben Schmidt asked this question?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was wondering what your goals for 2021 are, and who do you look up to most? And that could be in the entire racing community as a whole, I guess.
So, a goal for 2021 would definitely be to start traveling more and doing better, like, focus on, get more wins in my micro. And then someone that I really look up to, I really look up to Kyle Larson. I know there's been some stuff going on with him this year, but I still really look up to him. And he started pretty much where I started, and I think a really respectful, like a really, something that I really gained a lot of respect from him from was that he doesn't forget where he came from. He still comes back to carts and doesn't under, you know what I mean, doesn't look down to them anymore. He still comes back to where he started.
Yeah, for sure. And then, well, Will, you can take this part too. Will?
I'm having a little bit of tech.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, I can. Oh boy, here we go. No, so we always ask this week's guest to ask a question for next week's guest, and no pressure, Ashley, but this is a big one. Bill Balog, who's about to become a 10-time IRA Sprints champion, and who actually just finished seventh in the his All-Star Heat race at the Governor's Reign tonight. He beat Buddy Kofoid and Skylar G. We're going to ask you to ask a question for Bill so we can ask him it next week.
Oh, okay. This is kind of a hard one.
Yeah, no, because what hasn't anyone already asked Bill?
Right. I would say, what's his biggest dream race to win or biggest event to be at?
Oh wow! Okay.
Not yet, that he hasn't yet been at.
I'll tell you what someone's never probably asked him. Hey, Bill, you want to jump in my sport mod?
Oh, I guarantee you he would do it, too. He's one of those guys, he'll drive anything.
He'd win the race by half a track, too.
Probably. He's done that in just about everything. All right, Ashley, now for this last little part of the interview here, the floor is yours. Anybody who you want to thank, or anybody who sponsored you throughout the 2020 season, this is your time to do so.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all my sponsors, Old World Meats, Quality Freight Rate, Vitality Health, Cheap Thrills Motorsports, Shaper Oil, and then everyone go like my racing page, Ashley Williams Racing, and I want to give a big thanks to all the track workers this year, as it's been kind of a crazy year for them still putting on such a great race season.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's actually kind of cool. I completely forgot that Quality Freight Rate sponsored you. They also they sponsor our new segment here on the podcast, so it's very cool. A lot of great companies there. So thank you so much for coming on, Ashley. Looking forward to see you hopefully in 2021 back at Thunder Hill.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast, presented by Sage Fruit. I am Lauren, Big Contact Kelly.
And I am Will Garrett, the most average MSA 360 driver in the series.
Yes, it's actually statistically improbable how many times you finish 11th at a feature. But yes, as always, we are presented by Sage Fruit. Sage Fruit is a high-quality grower, packer, and shipper of Washington State apples, pears, and cherries. We work hard on the farm, in the packing houses, and in sales to deliver an exceptional eating experience to our customers. For the past 17 years, Sage Fruit has been a proud sponsor of Sprint Cars and Sprint Car Racing. We value our relationship with Sprint Car fans and appreciate your continued support of Sage Fruit. Ask for Sage Fruit at your local grocer. Sage Fruit, an exceptional eating experience. And we kind of ran it down a little bit here for our video listeners. If you don't know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, we're doing it live on Facebook now every week, so be sure to go check that out on our Facebook page. But yeah, this week is loaded. We're gonna have to kind of blitz through all this stuff to make time limits and all that stuff, but it's gonna be fun.
All right, just to get started, we are going to go over some asphalt racing news some dirt news. We have a little bit of drag racing news today, as we normally don't do that. And then we're going to go over the feature winners from the past week, talk about the 24 Hours of Le Mans a little bit, since that's a huge race that happens. Then we're going to talk about the upcoming races and kind of give a preview of this weekend's Wisconsin Sprint Car Championship.
Yeah, it's a big weekend in Wisconsin for racing. What with 141, they have their Fall Classic this week as well. And obviously with all the Sprint Car stuff going on. So, which we're going to get to all that a little bit later on. But right now we're going to kick things off with our Midwest Autosports news presented by QualityFreightRate.com. The auto racing family is like no other fan base on the planet. Loyal, hardworking, blue-collar, and kind people all gathering for a common purpose day in and day out at local racetracks around the world. And that's what you'll find at QualityFreightRate.com. Shipping all over North America, Quality Freight Rate works with thousands of companies and has over 27 years of shipping experience, and we do it all for less. Use code TEAMMAS for 10% off your first shipping quote at QualityFreightRate.com. And
before we begin, Chance Soselski also comment again that he's going to try to run the MAS E-Series, and he says he's going to bring along another special guest. I don't know what that means, but sign up for our MAS E-Series. You can find more information on our Facebook page. We're going to have a few different series along with a pro kind of championship. That should be fun. Anyway, let's get into the news.
Along the lines of that E-Series, I know I think Austin Summerman's going to come back for round two there. So, Chance, sorry, buddy. and then I believe Bill Balog's coming back to run our Sprint League as well, which is going to be really cool. And Bill's going to be on the show next week. Which we're going to plug the absolute crap out of that throughout the entire show. So, but we're going to kick things off with asphalt racing news. And first off, we somehow missed this until like the very last second of last week's episode. The 24 Hours of Le Mans was this last weekend.
It was. Toyota goes 3 in a row and wins the overall race, which is
not without challenge though.
Yeah, the Glickenhaus, right?
Rebellion, yeah. Or Glickenhaus. What?
Yeah, Glickenhaus was in the race, right? They had an LMP1.
Bike holes. Yeah. Oh no, Toyota won. They won by, I think, 6 laps, but apparently Rebellion was kind of right there with them. Rebellion set the fastest lap of the race. And for those of you who don't know, Toyota is like the hybrid. They have their hybrid system, so they're unbelievably more efficient than Rebellion's car. Rebellion's is faster over a 1-lap pace, but they have to stop for fuel a lot more. But apparently they still managed to stay with them right up until last few hours. And then Toyota kind of ran away with it. Rebellion came in second, and I think the other Toyota was in third. And then Aston Martin, good for them going into F1 next year full time. They swept the GT classes. So that's pretty cool. I like Aston Martin. I think their paint schemes look the best.
Yeah, hopefully they use that neon yellow for their F1 cars next year.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Anyway, AlphaTauri is no longer going to be a Red Bull Junior team, as they called it. They're now going to be a sister team, so they will have the same engineering accessibility as wind tunnel access and everything to develop their cars the same as Red Bull, as long, I guess, factory backing in addition to that.
And apparently their base pay scale will also be the same. I saw that today. So basically, unless your name is Max Verstappen, you're going to be getting paid the same as the drivers in Red Bull if you're in AlphaTauri, which is cool. AlphaTauri's won 2 races, I think, in their history. One with Sebastian Vettel, and then recently with Pierre Gasly. And then they've had a lot of podiums, actually. So it'll be interesting if they can actually be consistently running up front now with the little bit of extra kickback that they're going to get from Red Bull for being their sister team instead of just their very much junior team. And then we've got some Lewis Hamilton stuff here because Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, he's only one race off of tying Michael Schumacher's record race wins. I think he's already gotten to the podiums, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he eclipsed him for podiums.
But he was one race off of tying his record for wins, which is just unbelievable.
91 race wins. 91 wins. That's what Michael Schumacher's record is, and obviously Hamilton has 90. But yeah, that's crazy. At least he didn't do it in Monza. That's good for Ferrari that he didn't do it in Monza. All right.
You all right?
Apparently not. So we're going to go to some NASCAR stuff here. They had their first round of the playoffs this last weekend, correct?
Yeah, they just finished the first round and I don't even know. Bristol. Richmond?
Isn't it Bristol?
Bristol, yep.
Or Richmond.
I don't know. I haven't really been paying that close attention to NASCAR as of lately.
Well, unfortunately for Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Cole Custer, and Matt DiBenedetto, they were knocked out of the playoffs. And I think three out of the four of those got knocked out because of accidents that weren't really their fault. I think Matt DiBenedetto got involved in something. I know Ryan Blaney was involved in a bunch of stuff. And then William Byron, I know for sure he crashed out. But I know Cole Custer, I think he just didn't really perform.
Yeah, he was, I think he was in third place. Or he was not leading the Rookie of the Year standings when he got his win at Kansas, Kentucky, one of those intermediate tracks. And that kind of locked him in. And I don't know, I think he was kind of a lot of people calling to be eliminated on the first round. Yeah. Austin Dillon was another one of those people that were going to be called to be eliminated on the first round, and he was actually the, I think, fourth best points average of the first three races, which is pretty cool.
Too bad for William Byron as well. He got in on the last race of the regular season, and he had to win to get in, and he won. And got in, but now he's out after the first round. So that's too bad for Byron. But the biggest news in NASCAR, I think, this year
just the biggest dropped. News in just, I think, racing in general. It's, I mean, the person who's buying into the team is kind of world famous.
Yeah, one of the most famous people in the entire world. Denny Hamlin is going to co-own a NASCAR team, a single car team, with Michael Jordan in 2021.
Yeah, that Michael Jordan.
Yes, Michael Jordan, as in Michael Jordan. For those of you who listened on audio, I just did a little basketball mime.
It was bad for listeners.
Yep. And they have tapped Bubba Wallace, Darryl Wallace Jr., I'm calling that, to drive. And they're going to have, obviously, we've been talking about these rumors for weeks. Old William over here was ahead of the eight ball there.
Yeah, I scoured NASCAR Reddit for hours at a time.
And when you first suggested that, I thought it was a joke. But now it's actually happening.
Yeah.
and obviously Toyota Racing Development will be their engine supplier. So good for Toyota. I think that's good for just about all parties involved in that. I think it's also, whatever your opinions are on if the team's going to be good or not, I think that's good for NASCAR. Just to bring in a guy like Michael Jordan, who I honestly would never even have had a thought that he was interested in NASCAR. To bring somebody like him in is going to be, I think that's big for NASCAR. So another little bit of NASCAR stuff here. Franklin, Wisconsin driver, Sam Mayer, although I think he did most of his racing in the South. That's what it sounded like. Because he won the truck race at Bristol and then won ARCA the same night.
He also won the ARCA race that same night.
Two for two for Sam Mayer. And it was kind of funny. There were a lot of people in Wisconsin like, never heard of this guy. But I think he did a lot of his early driving in the South. But he is a Franklin, Wisconsin native. So that's pretty cool. And then you put this one in here just today. And I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I kind of read this when I was spent some time in Iowa earlier this week. NHRA is suing Coca-Cola and Mellow Yellow brands for breaching their contract as a title sponsor early. They're pulling out for some reason. Obviously, money's probably pretty tight.
Probably.
And, they're pulling out. So NHRA is suing Mellow Yellow for lost income. And Camping World and Marcus Lemonis, the owner of Camping World, has offered their services to be the title sponsor.
I did see that on Twitter. I saw Camping World tweet at NHRA. They sponsored the Truck Series for a while, so
they still do. It's the same guy with Gander. Camping World.
Okay.
And so, before we move on to our next piece of news, we have a comment on our live stream here.
Oh boy!
Wisconsin Sprint Car updates. He said that if he remembers correctly, Jordan, as Michael Jordan, may have had stake in a Truck Series team back in the mid to late 90s.
So back when he was trying to expand his portfolio or something like that. That's interesting, though. I didn't know that. Thank you. That's Gary Cornell, by the way. Fellow Fond du Lac Ian I don't know. But he lives in the same town I live in, so that's cool. And next little bit here. I think we announced earlier this year that Acura was leaving IMSA, but then it ended up that just Penske, I think, is leaving IMSA. And Acura is coming back with Wayne Taylor Racing and Meyer Shank Racing to run their LMDH, which is the new, like, DPI, basically, in IMSA this year. Which
for LMDH is also going to be BOP'd with Hypercar.
Right.
So it's like they can race it anywhere in the world where there's a big endurance race.
Yeah, it's really big for IMSA as well. I know IMSA also just announced this last week that LMP3 is going to come up and be full-time in their series, not just with their prototype challenge deal. Yep. So it'll be LMDH, LMP2, LMP3, and then GT.
And GTD.
Yeah, so that'll be really
a lot cool. of letters for those of you that don't follow endurance racing, but just go to IMSA.com and just take a look at their divisions if you don't know what we're talking about.
This would take
an hour to just explain it on here.
But basically, if you know like P1 from Le Mans or whatever, just the fastest of the fast.
Pretty much the higher the number, the slower they are.
These cars are faster around a track than an F1 car.
The LMP1.
LMP1s are.
Unrestricted.
Right.
Restricted, but they're slower by like 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're friggin' fast. But yeah, Wayne Taylor Racing and Meyer Shank Racing. MSR, Meyer Shank Racing, they've been doing really well at IndyCar this year with Jack Harvey. And then they also have a couple Acura NSX, right? NSX GT cars in IMSA right now, and it's cool to see them going back to prototypes. They always had those really cool chrome livery Daytona prototypes and Rolex, so that was cool. And then this one just came out. This one just came out like yesterday, 2 days ago, for the CGR.
Yeah, so yeah. On the same day that Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin announced that they were starting up a Cup Series team, Ross Chastain announced that he's going to replace Matt Kenseth and Kyle Larson in the Chip Ganassi Racing number 42 in the Cup Series.
That's really cool. I feel like Ross Chastain, we were talking about him with Josh Balicki last season on the podcast as one of those guys who probably deserves a better ride than he's in and could probably win races in a better ride. And that CGR 42, as we've seen, has been pretty competitive. So I wouldn't say it's the best car in the pits, but it's definitely up there. Which will be really cool. So, and that kind of ties us in
to dirt racing.
Because we're going to kick it off here. Yeah.
But before we get into dirt racing, we have another comment on our Facebook Live feed.
Oh, Lordy.
Trevor Frank, our honorary third co-host, is telling us to shut up, idiots.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you. We will continue.
He bailed on us tonight.
He did bail on us. People call him out in the comments.
Yeah.
Get him to the studio.
Give him the old razzle-dazzle. And we're going to kick dirt off as we were talking about the CGR 42. That was the ride that Kyle Larson was in, and now he's in the Paul Silva Finley Farms number 57, and he's had a crazy season. It continued this last weekend. He was 0-for-3 at the Tuscarora 50, only got one podium. But then this last weekend, he won at Lincoln Speedway with the All-Stars back in PA. So he put an old hurting on them PA Posse boys this last weekend. So, but he's been kind of, he struggled last night at the Governor's Reign, but then we saw a crazy stat that when he's missed the top five, he's always come back and won the next race.
Yeah, like, we'll be watching it. Yeah. I mean, just down the hall from our studio here.
Yeah, down the hall.
corridor.
It's going to be really, I'm so excited to see tonight because I think Brent Marks is going to be really fast again, and it's going to be great. Darren Pittman won in his last weekend with Roth Motorsports, in Lawton, Oklahoma, which ironically is not that far from where he grew up in Oklahoma, which is really cool. He's running the Hefner Racing 72, which is really cool as well. It just sounded like it was kind of a mutual parting of the ways between Darren and Roth Motorsports, and it's cool to see him kind of cap that relationship off on a pretty high note. And then this is going to come back a little bit later on in our little episode here, but do you want to take this one?
Yeah, it says, Bill Balog is winless in the past three IRA races, something that he hasn't done all this season.
Mm-hmm. Granted, there's been some pretty heavy competition come in two of those three races. However, at Beaver Dam, I would say that Bill probably had that race won if he didn't make if he didn't make that one mistake. But that's all it takes in sprint car racing is one mistake. And all of a sudden you go from hero to zero, from hero, especially driving 13th to the front in about 10 laps.
Also, he might have been like driving really aggressively because in qualifying, his rear end blew up. So they had to change the rear end and then come from the back in their heat race. And just they were just behind the eight ball all night, and they maybe were trying to overcompensate for that.
And he couldn't beat Scotty Neitzel in his heat race, so he missed the dash because he finished second. So then he had to come back from 13th in the feature, which is never where you want to start a feature, especially in the IRA nowadays. With I actually just listened to Sean's interview on TJ Slideways, and he was talking about how in past years you've had like maybe 6, 7, or 8 guys that could go out and finish on a podium, and now you're seeing like 10, 12, and then when outsiders come in, you're up to 16, 17 guys that could possibly finish in the top 5. So now it's way more competitive than it has been. But for Bill to just drive through the field like that, granted the track was, maybe suited him a little bit more than other people, but, like you said, maybe he was just driving too aggressively and just clipped that tire, but that was such a bummer to see him pull off. But it worked out for a couple other people, and we're going to get to that later on in the show. And then this next one's really cool. I'm so happy to be able to finally announce this, as it kind of looked like it this all year. But yeah, Sean Ray Hall is officially the 2020 IRA Rookie of the Year. I think it's kind of been a done deal for a while, especially after Jack Routson had a lot of those mid-season engine problems. It kind of kept him out of a few races there, and it was, unfortunately for Jack, it was the few races that Sean finished top 10 in the middle of the season there. But he's put together a lot of really good runs here in the past few weeks against some really good competition, so good job, Sean. Good job, boss. And then this one I put in here, but you can read it.
Yeah, so this was just a more of an opinion piece than anything.
Yeah, this is an opinion.
I guess me and Lauren both share the thought that Jordan Goldsberry needs to go full-time with the IRA next year and have a very good chance at winning the championship.
When he comes and runs with the IRA, now that I think he has a little more experience at the tracks up here and running against the guys up here, he is so fast. I mean, he almost beat Brooke Tatnall. He almost beat Brooke Tatnall head-to-head at Cedar Lake on the bottom. Like, I mean, that was so impressive to me. And then seeing what he's done in the past three races, top five, all three races, a couple podiums, and then he won at Beaver Dam. He broke Balog's win streak at Beaver Dam earlier this year. Granted, the track was rubber down and everything, but still, he broke the win streak. I truly, truly think even if Bill comes back next year to go for 11 championships, I think he's going to have his hands full with Goldsberry. If Goldsberry commits to a full-time schedule. But who knows? Maybe he was only up here so much because of something with COVID, or I don't know. But it's been a treat watching Jordan run in the IRA this year. So, and then this one, you're our midget dude in here. Yeah. So
the Badger Midget Series championship comes down to the last race this weekend at Sycamore. Chase McDermott leads Nick Barron by 22 points.
Yes.
Which... So.
Come on, Chase.
I think it comes down to around 10 positions or so.
Something like that.
And, yeah, I don't know. We both like Chase McDermott, but it's been a shortened season, but it's going to be a close one regardless. And also, we're looking forward to seeing what that championship brings.
Other really close championships, I mean, the IRA is basically a done deal. I think it is a done deal. I don't think there's any way Neitzel can catch Balog. But in the Wisconsin Wingless Sprints, 10 points, that's it, separating Chris Klumko and Jimmy Sibbia for the top, for the championship. That's going to be spicy this weekend because they're racing twice. They're racing at Dodge and Plymouth, so back-to-back.
Yeah, wingless sprints at Dodge. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
That's going to be really cool. I mean, I feel like it'd be really scary, but also, I think it's going to be really cool. And then we have, this just happened last night, so we're kind of happy that we're doing this today, because this was so cool.
Yeah, so the 18-year-old track record at Eldora Speedway was broken last night. Smashed, really.
Destroyed.
By 0.2 of a second by David Gravel on night one of the governor's reign. I think he had a
12.599.
And that equates to 143 miles an hour average around the half mile at Eldora.
Mind blown. That's
just crazy.
And the fact that he was the first one out for qualifying and they had the onboard camera on him as he went out was just, like, if you're working for Flow Racing and you see that happen, you have to just be ecstatic with how that turned out, because that's so lucky. But also, it's David Gravel and he's super quick at half miles, and I feel like he probably would have had a car to win last night as well if he didn't get punted off by Kerry Madsen. But that was a racing deal. Looking at you, Zach Reinhardt. We'll move on to the rumor mill now. I didn't really have anything in the rumor mill, but as always, Will managed to scrounge up some juices.
Yeah, of course. So I've been browsing r/NASCAR as always, and it's looking like one of the best rumors or the most accurate rumors right now is Kyle Larson is going to the Hendrick Motorsports 48.
Oh.
Which I don't know. There's also been rumors that he'll go to Stuart Haas Racing, but it looks like Clint Bowyer might be coming back. So this seems like the most accurate thing.
Why are they bringing Clint Bowyer back?
Because he brings in money, dude. I'd bring him back too if he.
I mean, he's money. A funny dude, but I mean, I guess if he's buying a seat, it's one thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. This one is interesting as well.
Yeah, I brought this one too. This was on Twitter from an Italian like racing rumor page. I forget what it's called. Those crazy Italians. They are predicting that Haas F1 will bring neither driver back for next season, and they are assuming, they have some information that Sergio Perez and Rob Schwartzman will be the drivers for Haas F1 next year.
And you know, this Haas, for those of you who don't know, is the only American team in F1. Same guy, Gene Haas, who owns the Haas NASCAR team, along with Stuart. So. You know, I think Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen have had their more than fair chances in Haas to do well. And granted, I don't think Haas has had the best cars, but even I think it was 2 years ago that they had like a very consistent like point scoring car, and both drivers just underperformed and they were constantly running into each other. And then there was that really juicy clip in Drive to Survive where Kevin Magnussen slammed the door and broke all the glass. So I feel like the tensions are kind of high there in general. Sergio Perez would be just really smart, I think, for them. And then Rob Schwartzman's been kind of an up and comer in the lower formula categories for a while, so it would make sense. But, you know, who knows? They might, you know, there's other drivers that are in F1 right now that are on the market as well. So who knows if, you know, maybe we'll see another one of those there. You know, Kimi Raikkonen might be on the market again after this year. So, who knows? This one is interesting too, and are you saying that this is IndyCar or is this IMSA?
Either, both. Oh boy, I don't know. That was just one of the comments on IndyCar forum that I found that they said. This is more speculation, but they're thinking that Elio Castroneves is going to Meyer Shank after Penske's Acura program is being shut down, and they don't know whether that's going to be the IndyCar or the IMSA car.
Because Meyer Shank, as we said before, is in IndyCar, and they have been doing, I mean, it's a single car team. I think it's under the banner of Andretti Autosport or something like that, or maybe they work with Andretti Autosport, but it is truly a single car team. Jack Harvey, like a very like unproven, I guess, driver, but a lot of top tens, has done really well this whole season. I would be surprised if they booted out Jack Harvey at the end of this season, but I would,
they can always expand cars too.
That's true. They could add another car. I would not be surprised if he went to Meyer Shank and IMSA though, because he already has that relationship with Acura, which is really Honda, and that's why Meyer Shank runs Acura, is because they run Honda and IndyCar as well. So, I don't know about any of these rumors, to be perfectly honest.
The only one that I really believe is the Haas F1
one. Yeah, that's the one I believe. I don't...
If I had to pick one to... If I had to pick one that I thought was going to be true, I'd go with the Haas F1, then the Larson,
and then... You put Larson over Elio?
Yeah, I assume this meant to the IndyCar because I found it in the IndyCar forum.
Oh, okay.
But I believe the Larson over the... Yeah, then I'd
put Larson above that as well. But Larson with 48, ooh, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool. I mean, I think he'd win a lot of races in that 48 car. But now... We're going to move on to the second segment of the podcast, Liquid Nitro Energy Drink Winner's Circle. Fuel up with the best. Liquid Nitro Energy Drink has all the power and fuel to get you through race day with zero crash or aftertaste. Vitamins B6 and B12 combined with powerful herbs and a great taste that will keep your engine running no matter what the day or the track throws at you. Liquid Nitro is available in original Tropical Storm low-carb energy shooters and now CBD-infused water for a full line of powerful drinks to keep you fueled up for the long haul. Ask for Liquid Nitro in your local convenience stores and vending machines or visit liquidnitroenergydrink.com to place an order. And where are we starting off with this one? Of course, 24 hours of Le Mans. We're going to get this one out of the way because it's a lot. For those of you who don't know, there's four races going on at once. So we're going to run.
Before we get into it, we have two more comments.
Oh, boy.
I guess we have four. Two of them are Gary Cornell kind of yelling at Trevor for not showing up.
Thank you,
and
Gary.
And the last two are from Jason Schilling. He's asking who we are. And yawn. Thank you, Jason.
I really appreciate you tuning in, buddy. Be sure to share it with your friends. And we're going to go to the 24 Hours of Le Mans now. LMP1 was won overall by Sebastian Buemi, Kazuki Nakajima, Brendan Hartley. And they were in the Toyota Gazoo. I love that. Gazoo. Racing number 8 prototype. And second went to Rebellion. And then third was to the number 7 Toyota.
I think you called that the 7 was going to win it.
I did. They had problems, though. They had problems at the end of the race. Apparently, they were running, like, right behind Rebellion, and then they had problems with Rebellion at the same time. So, they might have won. I don't know.
But they didn't. That's why they run the race.
No. Yeah, well, sorry. I didn't bet anything on it, so we're good. LMP2 was won by Phil Hansen, Felipe Albuquerque, and then Paul DiResta, former F1 driver, with United Autosports in their number 22 Orca prototype. That's kind of interesting as well. That's Sean's old team, United Autosports, when he won the European Le Mans Championship, so that's pretty cool. Second went to the Jota number 38, and third was the Panis Racing, which apparently was a huge surprise. Like a privateer team or whatever, the number 31 car finished third. And then you want to do the GTE?
Yeah, forgive me for mispronouncing names. I don't really follow Le Mans. Yeah. But the GTE Pro, Alex Lynn, Maxime Martin, Harry
Ticknell.
Ticknell in the Aston Martin Vantage took the win in the number 97 car. And then the Ferrari, the AF Corsa Ferrari, number 51, Pierre Guidi, Calado, and Sarah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just put the last names in because the first names were getting ridiculous. So,
sorry. And on the podium of the third place car, also an Aston Martin, Theme, Sorensen, and Westbrook.
Yep. Westbrook is, he's done some other IMSA stuff before. And then GTE AM, which is the amateur. Obviously, GTE Pro is professional drivers. AM is amateur. Johnny Adam, Charlie Eastwood, and Salih Yoluk. I don't know. Aston Martin took that one as well, and they're number 90. The Dempsey Proton Racing Porsche finished second, and the other AF Corsa, the AM entry for AF Corsa finished in third. So Aston Martin kind of dominating the GT ranks there. And now we're going to go to something a little bit more familiar, Wisconsin Wingless Sprint Car Series. We're at Beaver Dam.
Yeah. Ryan Zielski, Jimmy Sivia, and Chris Dodd were on the podium. I didn't really watch that race. I didn't get to watch it.
I had no time to watch it. But do want to give a shout out to Natalie Klemko for winning her first ever wingless race in the B main earlier on Saturday at Beaver Dam. That was pretty cool.
The 410s, though, they They had a show.
That was a show. That was one of the cool, like, everybody was complaining about the track, but you cannot deny that that was one of the most entertaining races of the whole year. Just when Baylog wrecked, it was like, okay, well, who's going to win now?
How many laps did they get in?
There was one stretch where it was 28.
So they were two laps short of a full race.
Yep.
Jake Blackhurst pulled out the win after Baylog, unfortunately, lost a front axle. Jordan Goldberry second, Scotty Neitzel third.
Yeah, and it's not like Jake didn't earn the win, though. I mean, he even when Baylog got past him, he kind of stuck right with him through lap traffic a little bit, but then had to hold off Jordan Goldberry and Scotty Neitzel for the win, so that was pretty cool. Lightning sprints were off. They did not make the trip to Beaver Dam. However, they're going to be at Plymouth this weekend for their season finale as well. And then the Dirt Kings were finally back after, I feel like we've said that a few times this year, after quite a big gap for the Dirt Kings. They had their 141 just pulled the plug on the Dirt Kings race there. That was supposed to be their season finale, so I don't really know what's going on with 141. But it just kind of seems like they just want to run their last little IMCA Fall Classic and be done for the year. But they were at Outagamie for their Fall Brawl. Is that what it was called?
I have no idea.
Mike Mullen, usual IMCA modified competitor up at Outagamie, took home the win in a late model. Nick Anvelink finished second, and Kyle Redant continues a really, really good second half of the season and finishes third. And then we'll go back to asphalt for a little bit here.
So NASCAR had their playoffs race at Bristol Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick got his 9th win of the year. Chase Briscoe got his 7th win of the year. And Sam Mayer got his first win ever in a truck.
A little bit of contrast there.
Yeah, and then he backed it up the same night, as we talked about earlier, in an ARCA race. Mm-hmm. So he was 2-for-2 on the day at Bristol Motor Speedway.
He won 50% of the NASCAR races this last weekend.
Yes, he did.
If you want to count ARCA as a NASCAR race.
It is NASCAR sanctioned, though.
Okay, well, Kevin Harvick, I will be super surprised if he doesn't win the championship. I'll be really surprised.
I think if he doesn't win the championship, like if he gets taken out, I think that we really have to look at the
format.
The format.
Because, like, he has dominated this year.
Yeah, he has like almost, he has maybe a full race. I'll look into it.
But, full race of like points lead?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to go back to something, again, a little more familiar, the World of Outlaws, but they were way down south this last week. First race was in Lawton, Oklahoma. Darren Pittman, like we said earlier, took home the win. Brad Sweet finished second, and David Gravel was third. And then at Devil's Bowl in Texas, apparently, I didn't find this out until just today when I listened to Open Red. That's apparently the birthplace of the World of Outlaws.
Yeah, yeah.
In Devil's Bowl, Texas, Logan Schuhart took home the win. David Gravel was second. Sheldon Hodenshield was third. I believe it's 15 points between Logan Schuhart and Brad Sweet right now in the championship. And it sounds like Donnie Schott's kind of out of it a little bit. But I don't know. Oh, you're looking it up right now.
I'm looking it up
right
now.
He's fact-checking me, people.
Why did it bring me to late models?
Ridiculous. Late models were off this last week. We don't need to know anything about the late models.
I don't need to know anything about late models, period. Cough, cough. Let's see here.
Wait, oh, my gosh.
This is an awful website.
There you go. Driver points. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, Brad Sweet and Logan Schuhart are separated by 8 points.
Oh, 8 points. Okay. So it was even closer. Yeah.
Four positions on the track.
Oh, boy. It's a good thing Governor's Reign isn't part of their championship. It'd make it that much more crazy. But speaking of the Governor's Reign and the All-Star Circuit of Champions, they had a doubleheader this last weekend at Williams Grove. Aaron Reichsel took home the win. Gio Selzy was second, and then Kyle Larson was third. And then in Lincoln Speedway, like we said earlier, Kyle Larson took home the win. Aaron Reichsel was second, and Brent Marks was third. Kind of interesting there. The All-Stars kind of taking it to the posse there a little bit. Brent Marks, the only Pennsylvania posse driver on the podium out of those two races.
Yeah, I don't know. They've been really hit or miss this year for posse guys.
Yeah, seems like they're either winning by half a track or just kind of nowhere.
It's weird. I don't know.
Really weird. I don't know. You posse people are crazy. And then we got USAC, and that's your deal.
Yeah, so Silver Crown and Midgets were both off, but the Sprint Cars had two races in Indiana. Chris Windham took the win at Terre Haute, and then Tri-State Speedway was won by Kendall Rubel.
Who I'd actually never heard of
before. I've never heard of this driver either.
Maybe he's Tony Knight.
Tony Knight. So, speaking of Tony Knight.
Yeah.
He's back, people.
Tony Knight is returning. It'll be interesting to see if he goes as Tony Knight because he's going out of state. Because he's going to Indiana.
Yeah, if Scotty Thiel's returning, they said they might have been done for the year, but he's coming back. He's racing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Outlaws on Thursday in Indiana, and then I think I would assume IRA on Friday and Saturday. Hopefully he doesn't break anything this weekend. Otherwise, it'll be like five races in a row. But good luck, Scotty. And then we've got upcoming races. F1's back this week after a week off. I don't know why they're taking weeks off in the way that this year is, but
it's the F1. Russian Grand Prix.
Yeah, at the worst track on the entire calendar.
Yeah, so much.
I'm sorry, it's so bad. It's so bad. The Sochi Autodrome is just it's a terrible track. But the racing there is sometimes
F1 to Eldora.
F1 to slap some Hoosiers on those bad boys. We'll make it work. IndyCar is gonna be off until the 2nd of October, so we'll preview that.
I think that's gonna be that's going to be Indianapolis race, too.
Yeah, Indy GP. And then
Harvest GP.
Thank you. Thanks, Will.
Welcome.
NASCAR is at Las Vegas this week for starting round two of the playoffs. Cup Series will run on the 27th, which is Sunday, at 7 p.m. And then Xfinity will be Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. And then Truck will be at 9 p.m. on Friday. And I'm assuming ARCA is on Friday as well sometime, right?
Who knows if they're even there?
I don't know. Nobody cares about ARCA.
actually, Connor Daly is making his Truck Series debut on Friday night as well.
Really?
Yeah. With Travis Pastrana as a teammate.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like Travis Pastrana.
Badger Midgets start at Sycamore on Saturday night. The All-Hall 8 models have a doubleheader at Thunder Mountain Speedway in Pennsylvania this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The Outlaw Sprint Car Series have a tripleheader Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Plymouth Speedway, Indiana, Wayne County Speedway, Ohio, and the Commonwealth Clash at Lernerville, Pennsylvania.
I can't wait for the Lernerville date. I love watching 410s at Lernerville. But that's a lot of driving, isn't it? For Indiana, they're going, well, they're having not most really. Of those guys are
Indiana,
going.
Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. They're all.
That's like.
Yeah, but they do that.
I guess. Dirt Kings are going to be off until the 3rd of October, which is their season finale. The Jim Watson, the Wildman Classic down at Wilmot. That's a rescheduled date after a rainout. We'll cover that next week. All-Stars, obviously, they're racing tonight with the Governor's Rain, and then they're off this weekend, I believe. And then we've got. It's going to kind of be a preview of the Wisconsin Sprint Car Championship weekend. Starts on the 25th at Dodge County. Who are you picking to win?
Me. I'm going to win it.
Well, in the MSA.
Yeah.
In the IRA.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I hope someone like Donnie Schott just decides to just kind of
Terry McCarroll made it kind of a habit to show up to that Friday night race at Dodge County and then Plymouth the next night.
I know. I have some friends coming to the Dodge County Speedway.
Mm-hmm. So don't suck.
Yeah, basically. Can't suck there.
Yeah.
No, he raced.
You didn't suck last time. You didn't do it last time.
Thank you. They race motorcycles there when they have them, and they want to see what sprint cars are like.
Like flat track?
Yeah.
Oh.
At the half mile. He got hurt there really bad. Shout out to Colin Weber. And then he got back out and he ran at Springfield, Illinois.
Nice.
Which is cool. We'll see what he likes sprint cars, but my pick to win the IRA race on Friday night has to be Scotty Neitzel.
Really?
Yeah.
He did good there at the Harry Neitzel Memorial. That was really cool. He almost swept the night. Just lost out at the end to Bill. And even Bill said he was sorry.
I know he really likes that racetrack, too. Yeah. Like, that's his favorite track.
Yeah. So that would be pretty cool. And then, obviously, Plymouth. Season championship. Who knows who's going to show up to this race? Because last year it was kind of crazy. We had, like, a lot of outsiders show up.
That's what kind of kicked off this podcast.
Yeah, it did. That did kick off this podcast. It was covering that wreck between McCarl and Jeffrey last year. So, who knows? Maybe they'll both show up again this year. I don't know. Apparently, Linton Jeffrey and Terry McCarl had a little throwdown over at Husitz last week. So, I don't know. We'll see if they ever are on the same track ever again.
And the MSA are at the same racetracks as the IRA.
Wonder who's going to win that championship.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats, doctor. Brandon McMullen. Yeah, that shouldn't take anything away from what Brandon's done this season. He's had just about, I think he's had his best season in a while. I feel like, because last year was kind of up and down. I mean, he did go back-to-back-to-back one time in the MSA, so maybe that's not true. But I don't know. Just seems like he's obviously had a really good year.
USAC has a doubleheader with two kinds of cars. The sprint cars and the midgets are both at Gas City and Kokomo Speedway, and that's Friday and Saturday. Silver Crown is off. Power Eye is off. And I think, with the season coming to a close, I think Beaver Dam's done. 141 is almost done.
141 has their fall classic this weekend for IMCA. Okay,
Gravity Park's now done, correct?
They have one more. They have another
fall classic.
They have like a 1K to win everything race sometime.
So they have a fall classic and then another fall classic.
I don't know, dude. That's just what Fender Car people
tell me. They race two times a week anyway. Like,
Fender Car people tell me things and I just write it down. I don't know. But then I think pretty much everywhere else is just about done. This is crazy. Feels like just yesterday we were telling you guys that everything was opening back up, and now it's
I think the Dells Raceway, they had a big race this past weekend.
Did they?
Yeah, I don't know. I was on my way down to Iowa, and we stopped at a gas station, and there's like this giant stacker trailer there, and I've got to see race car hauler. I have to go see what's up. They said they were on their way to Dells Raceway Park.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, let's see. Anything else? We got to do power rankings yet.
I just want to see what time
we have 10 minutes. We can blast it out in 10 minutes.
We can blast this out in 10 minutes. Oh, boy. Oh, no comment. But, yes, we'll go through our power rankings here. First, we're going to kick things off. We're going to save the best for last.
While we're loading this up, Tyler Davis, he just says, howdy.
Howdy, Tyler. Good luck this weekend. I'm sure I'll see you at Dodge and Plymouth. Thanks for tuning in. But yeah, we're going to kick things off with our kick-ass beef jerky Dirt Kings Late Model Power Rankings. Using family recipes that have been perfected over generations, kick-ass beef jerky is just that good. The highest quality beef is combined with herbs and spices to create a flavor experience like no other. Available in subscription boxes and bulk orders, kick-ass beef jerky and snacks have the package to satisfy every race fan's craving. And now kick-ass has their very own Bloody Mary mix, perfect for race day mornings, and handcrafted soaps for a refreshing clean after a long day at the track. Visit kickassbeefjerky.com to sign up for the Kick-Ass Fan Club and tell them you heard about it here on the podcast to receive 10% off your first order. And as I said, Dirt King's late model power rankings, you want to run them down?
Sure. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about with the IRA rankings.
Yeah.
Why don't we just go down the list here and you can talk about the notables.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So at the top, Justin Ritchie is... He remains I think he's only not been on the top one time.
Yeah.
The Taylor Scheffler, Nick Anvelink, Ron Berna, Kyle Redant, Troy Springborn, Brett Swedberg, Justin Reed, Justin Schmidt, and Turk Letizia.
So Justin Schmidt, I'm not going to lie. He was a little bit of an oversight in the last power rankings. It's just that he hadn't really done stuff outside of Plymouth, but he won the Plymouth championship and all that stuff, so he deserves to be in the power rank. So he moves into ninth. Justin Reed and Brett Swedberg both had pretty terrible races at Outagamie, and some other guys did really well, like Kyle Redant. He's our biggest mover along with Taylor Scheffler this week. They go up quite a bit. Taylor Scheffler had a good run at Outagamie and also finished 7th at Falls in the 15 grand to win show. And then Justin Ritchie's had another really solid race. Nick Anvelink finished 2nd, so he moves up, and I think that's just about it. So, but yeah, this is, that pot, Lauren.
Anyway, Lauren loves to stir the pot here at Midwest Autosports, and he did not fail to live up to that expectation with his power rankings. I don't really do anything with the power rankings at all.
But you're distancing yourself.
I'm distancing myself here. All right. But I don't know. I don't know. Lauren runs some stuff past me, and I just kind of tell him, do what you want, man. And anyway, let's get into the IRA.
I consult you more for the MSA power rankings. I do consult you for the MSA ones.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, yeah. The IRA power rankings by professional plating.
Yes, professional plating IRA power rankings. Go ahead and run them down.
Jordan Goldsberry is at the top of the list, and there's a lot of controversy over that. Or so Lauren thinks. He's getting a lot of like...
No, there's a lot of people saying
a lot of people like praising, like, yeah, that seems
that's,
right.
That's about right. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. But yeah, I mean, Jordan's had three top fives in a row. Bill's had only one top five in the past three races. Jordan's actually won a race more recently than Bill Balog has. That's a little bit crazy to think about. But yeah, so Jordan Goldsberry moves up to the top. Bill goes down to second. This is not saying that Bill Balog is not a better driver than Jordan Goldsberry. That's not what this is saying. This is saying that Jordan Goldsberry has been better than Bill Balog in the most recent weeks. And then we'll go down from there.
Yeah, Jake Blackhurst and Scotty Neitzel remain in their third and fourth positions.
Yep, Jake obviously took the win at Beaver Dam and Scotty got a podium. I just couldn't justify moving them up past Bill because I know Bill was obviously the fastest car at Beaver Dam, but he still made a mistake, but I didn't feel like I could move him down any more than one spot. So Jake and Scotty both remain in third and fourth.
Mike Ranke moves up and Blake Neme moves down one.
I feel so bad for Blake. Dude, I mean, in saying Bill Balog was the fastest car, I doubt that, actually, because Blake Neme got pole by 0.3. And I truly don't believe that Bill would have beat that. I mean, that was an outstanding qualifying lap, and ran really well in the heat race, ran really well in his dash, and then just, I think Reinke kind of came down the track and clipped Blake, and just sent Blake for a ride there on lap one of the feature, which is just so unfortunate. But Mike moves up one spot because he did hold on to his car. And if you watch the feature replay, Mike Reinke had a handful of a car, and had to really control that up on the top side to be able to finish fifth. Both Sean Rahal and Travis Arians were fast closing in on Mike Reinke at the end of that race. So good job to Mike for just kind of hanging on for the rest of that feature.
Sean Rahal and Russell Borland, they stay at their spots.
Dude, I was so ready to move up Russell Borland after this last week. He was running third. He was running second for a while, running third. And I was like, oh, man, you know, after Bill went out, I was like, oh, geez, Russell could, you know, he might win this.
Yeah.
And then, ugh, nope. Sorry, Russ. Yeah, just took a big, wild, wild ride. Doing this for 6 months.
Anyway, coming back.
Yes. Will got a phone call. But yeah, coming back. Where were we? Oh yeah. I couldn't feel like I could move Russell Borland beyond the two people that are below him, so he just stays in his eighth spot. And Sean, career best finish in seventh, so he stays in seventh in the power rankings. Sean just had a really good night, had a legitimate shot at a top five if those last two laps had been run.
Robbie Pribnow was the biggest mover. He was previously unranked.
Yep, previously unranked, moves up into ninth. He's had a couple really sneaky top tens this year against some really good competition. He had a top 10 at Cedar Lake.
Yeah, he did, didn't
which,
he?
Yeah, I didn't even realize until I actually looked at the results this past week. So good job to Robbie. He's had some pretty good runs this year. And for those of you who don't know, he's got Mike Reinke's car from 2 years ago, last year. That's why it's bright yellow. So that's kind of cool. And then last person on the power ranking
is Scott Beertzer.
Yes. Beertzer moves down one spot. He was in a top 10 spot for most of the feature until he flipped with two to go. And honestly, it kind of put him down because I was salty at him for not letting us run those last two laps. But no, he still deserves to be in the top 10. He's at a podium this year, and I'm sure he'll bounce back this weekend. So is that going to wrap it up?
I think that just about does it. There's no more comments on the Facebook live stream. Thank you all for tuning in on that.
Yeah. Be sure to listen in tomorrow morning when the podcast drops. We had an awesome interview with Ashley Williams. She did a fantastic job. We had Will and Trevor in on the phone call, so that'll be really cool. We kind of got some insights because she's actually interested in doing some fender car racing and stuff like that, so we had some good insight from Trevor there and all that cool stuff. So be sure to tune into that. And if you are listening to this on audio, thank you all for tuning in. Rate the podcast if you're on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts.
Yeah, please write in and tell the Apple to not rate us as explicit.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
At Trevor Frank.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor.
But yeah, I think that's just about going to do it. We'll be back next week. Again, Bill Balog, soon to be 10-time IRA champion. We're going to have the first interview with Bill Balog after he's won that ship here on the podcast next week. And we're going to see about trying to do that live somehow on live stream as well. So that'll be really cool. I'm really, 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 really excited for that. How many points ahead is he?
264.
Yeah, so he's going to be a 10-time IRA champion. But that's it shouldn't take anything away from what Scotty Neitzel's done this year either. He's had a really good season. So thank you all for tuning in, both on live stream and on audio. And keep it flat out.
And talk to you next week.